Good morning. John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network. And here's your chance to tell me where to go in the state of Wisconsin if I want to make a day trip. Vacations don't always have to be about traveling long distances. There's a lot of stuff probably really close to where you live that's worth looking at, and you don't have to drive several hundred miles to get there. So we're all in favor of localism these days. Let's apply that to tourism. My guest is Beth Gomper, editor at MidwestWeekends.com. Beth, welcome to the Joy Cardine program.
Thanks, John. I'm glad to be with you.
So day trips. We don't hear about them that much. I mean, it doesn't grab headlines in travel magazines and so forth, but they're becoming more popular. What is appealing about day trips?
Well, they've been popular for a long time because a lot of people don't have a lot of vacation, and the economy's coming back a little bit, but for quite a while they didn't have a lot of money, so day trips were what they did. And, you know, people just get the urge. I get cabin fever myself, you know, all year round, really. And you just want to get on the road and see something new.
Well, and, you know, one of the things that, and I was talking to somebody about this the other day when this topic came up, sometimes we don't even think about the attractions where we live. I live in Superior. We have the Meteor, the whaleback ship, the museum right here, and I'd never been to it until some friends came from out of town and said, hey, what's this whaleback ship? Let's go look at it. And it dawned on me that I'd lived in Superior for like 20 years and I'd never been there.
That is so typical.
So maybe we ought to start looking in our own backyard and actually see what's here instead of just letting all the out-of-towners have all the fun, I guess.
I think that's a great idea. I mean, I do the same thing. You know, I can tell you, something about Superior, I spent a lot of time in Duluth, and I'm planning to go over to Superior because there are some snowy owls.
Oh, yes.
There.
Yes.
And, you know, on Facebook, I keep track of what the sightings are, and eBird has a map of the sightings, and the Superior Airport is a hot spot. But they are across the state and down the Lake Michigan shore. So that's kind of a fun thing to do, especially if you're a patient type of person, because you're not necessarily going to see one. But, you know, in Superior, you can go to the Bong Center, stop by the Anchor Bar for a hamburger. There's a little candy store down the street now. You know, there's a lot you can do in it. And if you're a skier, you can check the condition of the After Hours Trail in Brule. Stop by Annacone River State Park and see the ice formations. I mean, bring yourself a good map. I love DeLorme Atlas and Gazetteers. And look on it, you know, get a big picture and see what's on your route.
Well, I'll tell you, I'll give you another tip. There's a new restaurant in Superior that just opened up recently called Izzy's Barbecue. Definitely worthwhile stopping at if you get hungry looking at those snowy owls.
I'm glad to hear that. They had some bad reviews right at the beginning, but I love barbecue, so I'm glad to hear that things have shaken out. And I guess there's a new tapas bar there, too.
Yeah, and there is, and the Spirit Room, and there's a lot of, actually, there's a lot of really great food that's been featured on the Food Network and elsewhere in Superior. Who knew?
I'm glad to see that. I've always liked Superior.
Well,
Duluth's ugly twin.
Well, see, what we like to say is next to Duluth, we're Superior. But
I say it's plainly Superior.
Well, oh, I don't know. I like plainly. The mayor is probably going to give me a call after the show. Well, let's talk about some other places in Wisconsin. You mentioned looking for snowy owls in various locations, not just Superior.
Right.
We're seeing them, and people are getting into things like that. It is winter. There is snow in some parts of Wisconsin, not as much as we had last year at this time. But a lot of opportunities for outdoor activities in the wintertime that don't involve frostbite. Last year, of course, we had the ice caves up in the Bayfield area, drew thousands and thousands of people who were willing to walk several miles over the ice to see these things, and it's certainly well worth the trip. But a lot to do and see outdoors in Wisconsin. Give us some other examples.
Well, eagle watching also is very big. On my website, it's always been big. And it's not just people around here. People come from around the nation to watch eagles in Minnesota and Wisconsin. And I often like to combine it with snowshoeing. And one of my favorite places to snowshoe and also look for eagles would be on Seven Bridges Road, and that is near Trempealeau, Wisconsin, just off the Mississippi River. But Seven Bridges Road is along the Black River, and it's a little road that used to connect a town that's no longer there anymore. But there are seven of these very cool bowstring arch bridges, and when I was there, you could also see eagles because they hang out where the water is open, which is near the mouth of rivers. And the Chippewa River, of course, the mouth is a classic eagle-watching spot. But this little road is very otherworldly, and definitely want to check that out. And then you can stop by Trempealeau and La Crosse, too.
So Seven Bridges Road is also a song by the Eagles, by the way.
Well, you know, maybe that's why it's called Seven Bridges.
You never, maybe that's where they got the idea for this song. You never know. You know, when we Fairy Bluff Eagle Council is hosting a bald eagle watching days January 16th and 17th. So long as we're talking about eagles,
and that's a ton of fun. I've gone to that quite a while ago. I guess it's really popular now, and sometimes there may be a little too many people. So the Fairy Bluff people have bus tours on weekends, and that might be a fun thing to do on weeks when it isn't prairie, you know, bald eagle watching days. So they're just $5, and they leave every Saturday between January 10th and February 14th. So that's fun to do because then you have the guide there who's always got better eyes than you do and, you know, a really good binoculars, and we'll show you a lot of great things, although the eagles there, they're right in front of you. So
they don't know when it's bald eagle watching days or not, so
they're
going to show up either way.
And I have kind of a fun tip, too. You know, I'm always looking for things that are free, and there are some Stewards of the Mississippi River Friends Group down in Savannah, Illinois, and that's just south of Galena. But they offer free eagle-watching van tours from 2 to 5 p.m. every Saturday between January 17th and March 7th. And all you have to do is register. And I haven't done that, but I think that sounds like a great deal.
Wow.
Yeah, well, free.
Free is good. When we talk about day trips, what kinds of distances are we realistically talking about, and how much time should we spend traveling to really call it a day trip?
For me, I guess it'd be max 2 hours, but 1 hour would be better, yeah.
So you leave maximum time for exploring and doing what you went there to do.
Yeah, and if you find a nice restaurant, you know, and you're there, you know, 5:30, 6:30, you don't want to get home too late.
Mm-hmm. The maybe your day trip is getting away and just staying at some local upscale hotel that has spa facilities or something like that, just giving yourself a day to be pampered. That sounds like a great day trip.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of people in this area just love a little cabin. You know, I just recently did a story about 20 perfect cabins, and of course I had a caveat there. You know, perfect is different to every person. I like a more rustic place surrounded by trees and with a wood-burning fireplace, but a lot of people do like a, you know, a Ralph Lauren-type decorated cabin with a big old whirlpool. So, yeah, I would say most people in this region are looking for that perfect cabin.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's certainly plenty of those all around Wisconsin, and thanks to the internet, they're not as hard to find as they used to be. What's if we're on a budget? How do we find cabins to stay in?
Wow, that's a good question. The best way to stay on a budget would be to get yourself a group, because groups really drive down the cost. And I am a member of an outdoors club, so, for example, next weekend I'll be going to St. Croix State Park, which is just across the border from Wisconsin. And Minnesota State Parks rent a lot of cabins and guest houses, and So do Iowa, Illinois, Michigan state parks, by the way. Mm-hmm. But this guest house, I believe, let me see. I led a trip there for my group last year, and we paid $30 a piece to stay there. And this is a modern guest house with bedrooms, kitchen, two bathrooms. There's a candlelight ski in the park that night,
okay.
You know, with free hot chocolate. And the food was included, $30 for the weekend.
Wow. So, we have to break for news, but when we come back, Beth, we'll talk some more about that and some other great things to do and see close to where a lot of people live. We're talking about where to go for a day trip in Wisconsin. Tell John where to go at 800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org or on Facebook or Twitter. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We'll be right back after this news. Day trips. Sometimes the best attractions are the ones right under our noses. We're talking about places to go that you don't have to drive very far to get to. And we're talking about that with Beth Gauper, the editor of MidwestWeekends.com. Do you take day trips? If yes, what do you like about them? Where's the best place you've traveled for a day trip? And where would you like to go that you haven't been on a day trip? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Just look for The Joy Cardine Show. And you can also send us an email. Talk at WPR.org is the email address. Okay, so let's talk about some specific areas of Wisconsin. And then we've got some callers we want to get in, too. But obviously, Wisconsin has a lot of really great cities. And I suppose because I'm a resident, I'm a little biased. I'll admit that. Let's start with Madison, our state capital. It's a college town, usually a lot going on State Street and elsewhere. Let's talk about what there is in our state capital and then move around the state.
Yeah, you know, Madison is one of my favorite cities. If I didn't live in Minneapolis, I wouldn't mind living there, actually. One of the favorite things to do there would be take the free state capitol tour. I mean, State Street has so much character, and so does the Capitol, and the guides are very good.
The Capitol is beautiful, and I've been in a number of state capitals, and again, I might be a little bit biased, but the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin is pretty spectacular.
It's gorgeous, and I love State Street. There's so much vitality there. And, you know, the museums are a lot of fun. The Veterans Museum is, you know, I don't know if most people go there, but it's really interesting. I took my kids there once. They were fascinated even when they were little. But there are some other things you could do in Madison that aren't quite so obvious. Once I came in December, and I went on a chocolate tour. And it happened to be that weekend that Metcalf's Markets was having its battle for the chocolates. So we ate, you know, a little too much at that. But Candinas in Verona is one of the best chocolate makers in the United States and a big favorite of Consumer Reports. And there are lots of other good chocolate places. So that's a day trip. And then you could make another day trip just going to the breweries. You know, you could go to Capitol in Middleton and then the New Wisconsin Brewing Company in Verona. And then you could wind up at New Glarus, which is not very far away. So there's so much to do in and around Madison.
Mm-hmm. And then, Wisconsin's playground, the premier resort area, Wisconsin Dells. People don't think much about that between Labor Day and Memorial Day, but still a lot to do and see there in the wintertime.
You know, there is, and I've been there a lot because the indoor water parks are very popular to everybody, you know, people in Minnesota. And actually, they're very popular during spring break. So the Wisconsin Dells people know when Minnesota's having its spring break, you know, Wisconsin, and the prices do go up. But January is actually a really good time to go to the Dells because it's quiet. And then this weekend, if you wanted to go to the Dells, there is a candlelight ski at Mirror Lake State Park, which is fun to hike through anyway. And then Devils Lake State Park, of course, is absolutely gorgeous every time of year. So, yeah, there's stuff to do. There are a few attractions open, but it's pretty quiet.
And then, of course, Milwaukee, Wisconsin's largest city. You've got professional sports and lots of other stuff going on there, too.
Yeah, the Public Museum is so great. You know, and here's an interesting overnight idea. The Public Museum has overnight adventures.
Really?
So, and they're not very expensive either. So you bring your sleeping bag, and you know, obviously the parent has to come. You can't just send your kids there. But they have special activities, and, you know, it's kind of like that movie night in the museum. And there's always a theme. So when the mummies were there, there was a mummy-themed overnight, and you bring your flashlights. Oh, yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun to me. And then Shedd Aquarium has them, too. There are quite a number of museums. Oh, you can stay overnight on the submarine in Manitowoc. So, yeah, pretty fun.
Cool. Submarine's kind of off my list as I'm a little claustrophobic. I mentioned the ice caves up in the Apostle Islands, and I don't think you can go to them just yet. The ice isn't what it's supposed to be yet, but that was a huge thing last year.
Yeah, it was huge. What did they say? 138,000 people.
Something like that.
One thing you can do any time of year is take the Lakeshore Trail from the very same parking lot that you would walk across the ice from. There's a Lakeshore Trail. And you can't go into the caves, but you get wonderful views of the ice kind of cascading over the cliff.
Mm-hmm. And you know that the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore is one of five national parks around Lake Superior. That's the only one in Wisconsin. There's Isle Royale, which is actually Michigan. And then there are three more in the UP, which for some of us in northern Wisconsin would qualify as a day trip. But Apostle Islands National Lakeshore is certainly a national treasure. Let's take a phone call here. We'll go to Rich in Rhinelander. Rich, thanks for joining us.
Two of my favorite places are the Lee Yawkey Woodson Art Museum in Wausau, Wisconsin. And right now they're doing 50 Greatest National Geographic Photographs and a James Whistler Realism in Print exhibit, and the Central Wisconsin School of Ballet masks from productions of Central Wisconsin School of Ballet. The other is the Art Start in Rhinelander, Wisconsin, which has a print exhibit right now exhibit by T.L. Soline, and ceramics exhibit by Debbie Kupinski. And I'd urge people to check out these regional things because if you're in the area and you're just looking for intellectual or entertainment stimulation, UW Marathon County Wausau has a great program coming up in terms of this late winter and spring. They're doing the Vagina Monologues. They're doing the Importance of Being Earnest. And also Nicolet College in Rhinelander has a great arts program. So I guess those four things I'd mentioned very quickly, but Lee Yawkey Woodson in Wausau is a gem of a museum, and Art Start in Rhinelander is an emerging venue that really is very lively. So,
Rich, thanks for the call. Beth Gomper?
Yeah, you know, he is so right about the Yawkey Woodson Museum in Wausau. That's one of my favorite places, and it's another free museum. What a deal. And Wausau is great in the winter because it's kind of your all-purpose winter sports town. It's got your snowshoeing on Rib Mountain, and there's a Candlelight Snowshoe there later this year. There's downhill skiing at Granite Peak. There's tubing, really nice tubing in Wausau at Sylvan Hill Park. And then there's great snowshoeing and exploring in Delta of the Eau Claire County Park right outside town. Really fun place.
And there's some pretty good food in Wausau, too. I've been there a few times.
Yeah. Oh, and about Rhinelander, the caller mentioned Nicolet College. They also have a really extensive list of day trips. So if you can get them to send you their catalog or it's online, they have various outdoors people well-known in the field who give various day trips around the region. So there's snowshoeing,
wow.
there's paddling, there's hiking, all kinds of things, really fun stuff, wildflower watching in season, yeah.
Hmm. Amazing. So let's see. Let's go next to Dan in Drummond. Dan, hello.
One of the things that's coming up in cable at Telmark at the end of the month is the Intercontinental Handicap Competition, which I believe this is the only time, it's the second time that it's only been held in the United States.
Wow.
And then in February on what they call, well, it's Valentine's Day and also President's Weekend in Drummond, we have a little thing that's put on by a group called the Snowjacks Snow Club. It's called the Barstool Races. And if you've never taken that in, I would suggest you do because it's one heck of a day.
Well, you know, the other big thing in that part of the country is there's a pretty decent cross-country ski race coming up in that neighborhood too. Let's see if we can remember what that's called. I was being facetious there. It's a huge thing every year, and people come from all over the world to not only enter the race but to watch it. Of course, we're talking about the Birkebeiner. So there's that, but then, you know, those trails exist, and there's actually in Hayward, the Hayward area has quite a bit of snow yet.
Yeah, it's kind of great. I was just looking at the, if you want to know where the snow is around the state, there's a website called skinnyski.com, and people leave trail reports there, so you can see exactly what the condition of the trails are. And, yeah, Hayward's doing pretty well, Minocqua, Phelps area, Ironwood, of course. And one thing I'd like to add about the Hayward and Cable area is the Camba trails are really good for snowshoeing.
Hmm.
So those are the narrower. I mean, the Berkey Trail is it's really wide. It's like a superhighway. So, you know, it's good for skiing if you like hills because it's up and down. But if you just want to snowshoe, it's kind of more fun to be on those narrower mountain biking trails.
Yeah, that's one thing Wisconsin has added a lot of over the last 25, 30 years is a lot of trails, most of them former railroad lines, and those have been repurposed. So you have a lot of them, and quite a few, they're all over the state. I mean, I'm more familiar with the ones in northern Wisconsin, but those trails are all over the state, and there's a lot of information about them out there. So lots of opportunities there. We mentioned Hayward. Let's talk about Hurley-Ironwood, because I remember when it used to be Hayward, Hurley, and Hell. Hell referring to Negaunee, Michigan, the twin of Ishpeming.
I don't think you're nearly that old, John, to remember that. Wasn't that back in the lumberjack days?
Well, but it stuck. Let's just say that.
It did stuck. And,
yeah.
You know, you can still see a trace of it in downtown Hurley. You know, I think there might even still be a gentleman's club there. And I think, you know, it's famous for its brothels and strip clubs. And, I guess it's not just myth. It was a rough place.
Well, you know, it was. And you had the lumberjacks, and then you had the miners. And Silver Street in Hurley was the place to be for all sorts of, how shall we say, entertainment. But now there's some pretty good cross-country skiing in the region. Of course, Ironwood. Now we're getting into some really big-time downhill skiing areas there, there are lots of places to stay, and they're in the snow belt, so they always have a lot of snow for snowmobiling or whatever you want to do over there.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. You know, they love it when the rest of the region doesn't have snow because, you know, we're talking about day trips, 1 hour, 2 hours. No, you get people who come up from Madison for the day. And sometimes when it's the only place that has snow, it's hard to find a place. So I drove over there from Cable once and met some people who had come up, and were staying in Manitowish Waters. So, that's their big calling card. And, next weekend they're having kind of a fun little festival called Sea Soup Fest. And there are a lot of snowshoe and ski races, but there's also a, taste and tour. So it's a little progressive dinner on skis. Not very difficult, of course. And then they're having a Finnish reggae concert afterwards.
Whoa.
You don't have
back up the truck. Back up the truck. Finnish reggae?
That's what they say. Yeah. Sounds fun, doesn't it?
Wow. I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. I might have to check that out. So do you have any recommendations on places to stay over there?
Oh, boy. Let me see. Well, there are some nice places near Bessemer. There's a B&B there. What is it? Black River B&B. Probably I would go with VRBO. There's a lot of franchise hotels. And then you can stay at Big Powderhorn. They have a lot of cabins. And then there's a really nice place along the Black River, just one of my favorite places to go in the winter, because it's very fun to snowshoe along the Black River, which has 5 waterfalls in its last 2 miles before it hits Lake Superior. So it's one of the primo snowshoeing spots. And if there's not snow, you can just look at the waterfalls anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's just a lot. There's something pretty to look at, whatever direction you happen to notice. We came near there, but we didn't really talk about Eagle River yet. This has certainly been the snowmobile capital of Wisconsin for a long time. They've got that world famous race that they have there every year, but a lot of other stuff to do over in Eagle River as well.
Yeah, Eagle River has, not the Ice Palace this year, unfortunately, but some really great ski trails just east of there. And then they have the Three Eagles Trail, which is very fun to walk along. I'm looking at Skinny Ski right now, and I guess the conditions on it aren't that great, but it's a beautiful little trail, a bicycle trail in the summer.
Hmm. 800-642-1234, the number to call. Tell John where to go. What's your favorite day trip in Wisconsin, and what would you recommend? And you know, with the price of gas going down, it's below $2 in Milwaukee, and it's really close to being below $2 in Superior, so the bookends of the state there. And it's likely to, some people are talking about gas that it's, by spring will be $1.60 a gallon. So it makes it a little more affordable to just jump in the car with the family and take those day trips this year, and certainly lots to see and do in Wisconsin. 800-642-1234. If you're living in West Central Wisconsin along the Mississippi or St. Croix River, the Twin Cities is definitely a possibility. And, of course, a lot to do there with major sports teams and college hockey and basketball and all kinds of things to do there. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we were talking about no ice castle in Eagle River. Well, there will be an ice castle in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, which is not a tourist destination. It's known for being where the Vikings are headquartered. Ooh, I don't know if you want to go there. But they have hired a private company that makes ice castles not with blocks, but by kind of dripping water onto icicles. So it's kind of like making a little, do you ever make a little sand castle by kind of squeezing the sand through your hands? That's what it's like, and that will open, I guess, January 9th, but it is not free. It costs $10 to $13, but I assume that's going to draw a lot of people.
And I want to come back to that. We're just about at news time. After the news, we'll have our Wisconsin Life segment, and then we'll finish this up. I'd like to hear more about what's going on over there. And speaking of ice, there's a giant ice sculpture being made at Barker's Island in Superior. There's a fellow going for the Guinness Book of World Records. This thing is going to be pretty spectacular when it's done, I think. 800-642-1234. We're talking about day trips in Wisconsin. Where's your favorite place for a little day trip, one day getaway? Tell John where to go. That's more to come with Beth Gomper, editor for MidwestWeekends.com. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. We'll have some news and then Wisconsin Life. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's time for Wisconsin Life. Packer game days are arguably among the most holy days on the calendar in Wisconsin. At least that's how it played out in writer Julie Buckle's family, where football brought the family together like little else could.
Growing up, my family dabbled in religion, trying on Lutheran for its location and the Methodist for the personality of its preacher. But in the end, we settled on the Green Bay Packers. Following the tenets of the green and gold had incredible benefits. For one, we didn't have to leave the house, and the couch or carpeted floor was far more comfortable than any pew, padded or not. Secondly, services began in the fall and ended around Christmas, and if we were good, went on into January. Thirdly, popcorn was always served, and we could talk, scream, and laugh during the sermon. Dress was casual. For most of my youth, we had a black and white postage stamp sized television set. No TiVo, Blu-ray, HDTV, 3D, or even VCR. Just rabbit ears that meant most games began with Dad on the roof, Mom at the television set, and one of us kids screaming out the window to go right or left until the picture straightened itself out. So apparently, we had the finest TV in the family because many of my relatives would drive to our house, drink beer or Mountain Dew, eat popcorn, and shout at the screen. This was the 1970s. I was branded a bit of a black sheep from the get-go. I typically lay in the back of the room during games, for sure, grateful to be there versus any pew, and read books or took a nap. But then I grew, moved away, and continued to read my way through Sundays. Flying home for Christmas one year, Mom offered a ticket to a live Packer game. My 20-year-old brother Link picked me up at the airport December 20th, 1992, and together we drove to frozen Lambeau Field to watch the Packers play the L.A. Rams. Little did I know that 1992 was a watershed year for the Pack. A young quarterback named Brett Favre had replaced an injured Don Magic Mikowski in the third game of that season, and Mike Holmgren had just begun as coach. I wore black leather Doc Martens on my feet, fashionable on the streets of London, ill-advised on the snowy pavement in Green Bay. I also wore a man's wool overcoat, again youthful fashion over function, black driving gloves, and no hat. We tailgated in the parking lot of Lambeau Field, Mom, Dad, Link, and I, grilling four special exports, two cotton socks, and three bratwurst. Two guys tailgating next to us took such pity on me that they handed over blaze orange gloves, scarves, and a hat. My mom supplied a few more Packer scarves. It was 20 below zero. I haven't had a television for more than 20 years and have judged the season's successes or losses based on the mood of my family. Then this year, I was offered tickets and so decided to take my husband and two children to experience Lambeau. Mom and Dad came, and so did my sister and her family. The weather was balmy, the mood jubilant. As I sat on an aluminum bench, the sun on my face, as an inebriated man dribbled beer down my back, I thought, it sure felt good to be back in church again.
Julie Buckles is a writer in Ashland and the author of Paddling to Winter. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine on the Joy Cardine Show this week. Joy will be back on Monday. This hour, you're telling John where to go, and specifically we're talking about day trips. In the upper Midwest, in Wisconsin, of course, primarily, but we talked about the Twin Cities. Just east of the Twin Cities, Hudson. And Beth Gopper, editor of MidwestWeekends.com, my guest this hour. Beth, there's a lot to do and see over in the Hudson area.
Yeah, Hudson is a fun town. There are some nice shops. There are a lot of good restaurants, actually, in Hudson. And there's a beautiful state park right outside town called Willow River. And they have a candlelight ski also. But anytime you can go and see their big waterfall, it's a you're kind of surprised when you come upon it because it's very wide and very big and beautiful.
What haven't we talked about in terms of day trips that you for sure want people to know about?
Well, maybe we should talk a little bit more about southern Wisconsin. One thing that's kind of fun to do, the kids are off school right now, I guess, for a few more days. There are some factory tours that are kind of fun to take in Pleasant Prairie, which is just kind of between Milwaukee and Madison. There's the Deli Belly Visitor Center, and it's just a warehouse, but it's kind of fun to visit. You get a free tour in a little trolley, and then you get some jelly beans afterwards. And then in a suburb of Milwaukee called St. Francis, there's Buddy Squirrel, and you can take the candy and nut tour, and that's just $3. And then you can tour Palermo's Pizza in Milwaukee. So that's kind of a fun, different thing to do, especially with kids, but you don't need kids.
It's of course, it's winter now, but the days are getting longer, and it won't be that long until we get to Wisconsin's second season, which is road construction. Some people call it summer. What might we want to keep our eyes on for those long summer days coming up?
Oh, boy. Well, I would say to plan. You know, there are some really huge festivals that take up hotel rooms in a really wide area, such as the Air Venture, the Expo in Oshkosh. You need to know about them, but you also need to reserve right now for your campsites, your weekends in places like Door County, Lake Geneva, any popular place, really. Chicago, I always tell people to check the convention calendar there before you plan your trip, because certain conventions mean you can't even get a hotel room, or if you can, they're, you know, $400 a night. So, yeah, story comes serious.
Oh, we're starting to lose your cell there, Beth. Maybe you need to move just a little bit, because I'm having trouble hearing you. Did we lose Beth? I think we did. Let's try and get her back. 800-642-1234 is still time for a quick call or two if you get in right now, or better yet, a Facebook post. Let us know what day trips you enjoy, and what things in the winter or maybe in the summer, the things that that you like to do. Of course, with wintertime, snow is with us, and lots of snowshoeing and cross-country skiing. We mentioned some trails, and Beth, I think we have you back. Let's talk some more about what's going on in southern Wisconsin. We did touch on that briefly, some factory tours and things like that. Palermo's Pizza, that made me hungry.
Yeah, and in fact, they have two different tours. Both of them, you get a slice of pizza and a drink. You pay a few dollars extra, you get a T-shirt, too. One of my favorite places in southern Wisconsin would be Lake Geneva, and a lot of people think that's where all the Chicago people hang out, and you know, and that's true, but there are some nice shops there this time of year that are still open. But my favorite thing to do would be to walk around the lake, and you can do that in any season. Bring some ice crampons right now if you want to do that, but you know, it's very fun to look at those mansions. It's 20 miles. You can only, you know, you can do part of it if you want to. In the summer, you can walk halfway and then take a excursion boat back.
Yep.
Probably another favorite place would be Sheboygan. Museums are very fun to go to, and my favorite museum in the entire state of Wisconsin is the John Michael Kohler Art Center, which is free. Again, it's really amazing, all the fun stuff you can do for no money.
We should maybe mention the Cooley region, southwestern Wisconsin.
Oh,
day trip opportunities there as well.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I think that is the most beautiful part of the state, which, I don't know, that's saying a lot, but I just love those high ridges and low valleys. And one of the nicest places to go any time of year would be the Kickapoo Valley Refuge. And they are offering ice cave hikes this winter. You can go on one of them during their winter festival, which is the 10th, but they're also leading them throughout the winter on Saturdays, and I think they're something like $5, but doesn't that sound fun?
Well, yeah, and I understand there's some ice caves on the Kickapoo.
Yeah, I've never seen them, but, you know, it's like a naturalist guides you. It's, I think, the entire afternoon. And tells you about, I don't know, geology, probably points out birds.
Cool.
I don't know, but I'm going to try to fit that in this winter.
And let's see. Let's go to Marianne in Point Ant. Marianne, you got about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, the Crane Farm, the Bennett Studio in the Dells, the photographer who made the Dells famous, and the boat rides.
Okay. Marianne, thanks so much for that. Appreciate it. We've got about a minute or so left, Beth Gopper, and we've talked about a lot this morning. What are some of the best places online that you can think of to go and search? Obviously, I would imagine we want to start with MidwestWeekends.com. Recommend some other places where we can get some quick info.
Well, I like to go to Travel Wisconsin. I like to look at their events calendar. You know, if you just go to events and you scroll down, you know, I know a lot that's going on, but there's lots that I don't, and I'm always kind of surprised at what I see. For example, I guess there's ice racing in Superior this
weekend.
Yes,
there is.
Like, I didn't know that, and that's why I go to check, and I guess there's a roller derby in Madison. So even if you've maybe heard of these places, it reminds you of all the fun stuff going on.
Saturday, there's roller derby in Madison, and several people from Wisconsin Public Radio participate. It's become a big deal at WPR. We have to cheer for our roller derby participants on the staff. So,
wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah, well, so am I. I mean, you know, we have an impressive staff, a present company accepted. Well, Beth, thanks so much for your time this morning. I really appreciate you getting up at this early hour and telling us all where to go. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, John. It was a pleasure for me, too.
Beth Gomper is editor for MidwestWeekends.com. We've been talking about day trips. If you'd like to hear this program again, in case you missed a suggestion or two, you can go to our website, WPR.org, and find a recording of that program available there. Brianne Chasseau produced this hour of programming and also handled on-air production. Christy Taylor handled direction this hour. Stick around. More to come on the Joy Cardine program. We'll be talking about superbugs after the news and the harmful effects of the overprescription of antibiotics and what that might lead to and what some of the solutions are as well. That's coming up after the news. I'm John Munson in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.